What are you afraid to
say? Okay, the today's daf is daf Kif Lamed Zayin, and we're holding at the very top of the Amud, where the Gemara brings a Machloikis Tanoim. What is this Machloikis Tanoim referring to? We go back to the Machloikis that we learned yesterday. It's a Vilt, it's a Shas Machloikis. Lagabe Kinyan Pedis, Kinyan Akimit, Kinyan Agiftomi, or Lab Kinyan Agiftomi. We had a Machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says whoever owns the Kinyan HaPeirois, he gets the income stream, he is considered to be the owner of the guf, because the whole tachlis of property is to go and give you profits, to go and give you income. A property that stays there and doesn't do anything is just a wasting asset. So the Kinyan pays the Kinyan a gift of me. The Shlokish says, no. He gets the income stream, but whoever owns the title to the property, he's the property owner. It's an old machlokes. Now the Gemara tells us that this machlokes is not only a machlokes amiroim, it's a machlokes tanoim. Tanoi, the sign you will learn in the Braisa. Nechseloch viacharecho liploini. What happens if a person says, I'm giving my nechosim to Yankel, but I don't want Yankel after his passing to pass these nechosim over to his mishpacha, to his yorshim, but after Yankel passes on, v'acharech, I want that these nechosim should go to leploini, to Beryl. So you have here three people. You have the nosei, the one that's giving the matana, who's giving it first to Yankel, and after Yankel's passing, it goes to Beryl. And guess what happens? V'yored rishon, and Yankel went down into the property, u'mochar, and he sold the property. The ogal, and he ate up the proceeds. So there's nothing left. And now the sheni comes on the scene and says, hey, whatever happened to that property that was left over by the noisei, where is it? And they tell him the good news, that the rishon Yankel sold this property. What can he do? Hasheni, meaning Beryl, the second person, is going to be out of the kuchois. He can go and take the property back and say, yes, you had a right to hold on to it as long as Yankel was alive. But now Yankel passed away, it's no longer his, it's my property. Therefore, I'm taking it back. Divrei Rebbe. Azizot Rebbe. Mishim Gamli Eloimer. Ein L'sheni El Mashishaya Rishayin. The only thing L'sheni gets is if there is a remainder interest left over when Yankel passes away. But if Yankel passes away and he left over nothing, then Shani, Beryl gets nothing. So what's the svara of the machloikis? Like we explained before, like we explained yesterday. It's this machloikis whether Kinyan pays Kinyan a gift to me or not. The assumption underlying this machloikis is that the Rishoin, meaning Yankel in our example, he only had the Kinyan pay rise. Why? Because he had the right to the income stream. The assumption is that after Yankel passed away, that now he no longer owns anything, and now it all goes to the shiny, to Beryl. Aha. So now the question is, the Kinyan HaPeirois that Yankel had, is that Kinyan HaGif or not? Rebbe holds it's not Kinyan HaGif, Tommy. He only had the temporary right to use the income of this property. But that's it. So therefore, he, Yankel, had a right to go and sell it, but he could only sell it for his lifetime, during that period of time when he was allowed to go and eat from the property. But he doesn't have any further right. So as soon as he died, what happens? Beryl can go and take it away from the Loikeach. Because Yankel only had a Kinyan HaPeirois, which is love. A Kinyan a gift of me. Mashenker of Shim Gamliel said, no. If he had the Kinyan HaPeirois, he had the real McCoy, he had the real rights to this property. And therefore, he, the Rishon, Yankel, had every right to go and sell it. And once he sold it, if there's nothing left, okay, I feel bad for you, Shaini, but ain't the Shaini l'mashishaya, Rishon, because if Shimon Gamliel holds the Kinyan Peiros k'Kinyan a gift on me, he does have the right to go and sell it, lock, stock, and barrel. Azoy kum tois is the machloikis tanoim between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. We mentioned yesterday, at the end of yesterday's Gemara, that even according to Reish Lakish, that you hold Kinyan a Peirois, lav Kinyan a gift on me, it could be in the case of Acharecha, they gave a yipui koyach to the first individual, and we told him that during your lifetime, Yankel, not only do you have the income stream, but you in fact have the guf akarka. And therefore, you have both the peiros and the guf, like we learned at the end of yesterday's omid. That was the svar of Shimgam Reish Lakish, to go on for emphasis, a kasha that we asked on Reish Lakish from the previous brisa. So Reb Shimon Gamliel either could hold like Rabbi Yochanan, the kinyan of peiros, kinyan of giftumi, always, or at least in the more limited situation of an acharecha situation, he holds that the kinyan of peiros is coupled with a kinyan of guf, and therefore whatever the rishon sold is sold, and whatever is remaining is remaining, and if there's nothing remaining, then ein l'shein l'mashe shayir rishon. So that was the machloikas tanai. But if you want to ask now, Rimini, I have a stira, I'm going to bring you a second brisa where it's exactly the opposite. What does the second brisa say? Nechsiloch v'acharecha l'ploin. The exact same situation. First, the nechosim go to Yankel. When Yankel passes away, it goes to Beryl. What does it say? Yoyrei derishoyn imoycher v'oychel. Yankel is allowed to go down into property and sell and eat up all of the proceeds. No problem. Now, who holds that? According to the first brisa, that was Reb Shimon Gamliel. Guess what? The second brisa is Divrei Rebbe. He can go and sell the chatchila, no problem. Didn't Rebbe say in the first brisa, Hasheni moitzi miyala lekulchois? So stira Rebbe and Rebbe. And Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer, ein l'rishon elachilas peiros v'vod. The rishon only has the right to the peiros. Don't even think of selling the property. You have no right. You only have the achilas peiros. And the first brisa, which is Reb Shimon Gamliel, says that the sheni only gets what's remaining. So the rishon can sell whatever he wants. Sechmamish astira kasha d'Rabbi ad Rabbi, or the Reb Shimon Gamliel ad Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Everyone, d'Rabbi ad Rabbi loy kasha. Halagifa halapeira. It depends which part of the property we're talking about. The first brisa says that Rebbe says that the rishon Yankel sold everything, lock, stock, and barrel. He sold not only the income stream, but also the gufa karka. Of Dame Zuk Rebbe, you have no right to sell the gufa karka. You only have the kinyan peiros. You don't have the kinyan of guf. You're not allowed to sell the rest of the karka. So if you did sell it, Hasheni moitz mi'al l'kulchais, Hasheni has a right to get it back. He had no authority to sell it in the first place. But in the second price, we're talking about the peiros. The income stream everybody holds belongs to the rishon. There's no question about it. He has the right to the income. And therefore, if he wants to sell the income as long as he is alive, avadi can go and sell it. So the yoyed rishon and moichel v'oichel is referring to the sale of the income stream, but not of the permanent property. The permanent property doesn't belong to him that he cannot sell. Reb Shimon Gamliel be'emison holds that the rishon is allowed to go and sell unquestionably, because either, like Reb Yochanan says, kinyan ha'peiros, ki kinyan ha'gift on me, he owns the property, he could sell it. Ein l'sheni elamash mashashaya rishon. And even according to Reish Lakish, according to the maskon of the Gemara yesterday, Reish Lakish says that when you go and sell, or you give something away and you say, acharecha l'plaini, the first person who gets it gets not only the peiros, but also the kuf. And therefore, there's no question that the rishon is fully authorized to go and sell the property totally. And that's why the second brisa says, I'm sorry, the first brisa says, Ein l'sheinu mashashaya rishon. Whatever he sold. If there's nothing left, I feel bad, but l'maisa is nothing left. He had the authority. The second brisa says, no, Ein l'rishon l'achilas peiros b'lvod. What do you do with that, Reb Shimon Gamliel? Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, even though he has the legal authority, but morally and ethically and equitably, he shouldn't go and sell it. Why shouldn't he go and sell it? Because after all, how did the rishon get this property in the first place? It's that the noisin gave it to him. Now, what did the noisin really want to do? Did he want that the rishon should go and squander the property, sell it, there should be nothing left for the second one? Of course not. The noisin wanted, and that's what he said expressly, I'm giving it you, the rishon, and when you pass away, it goes to the sheni. So I'm hoping, says the noisin, that you, the rishon, will use this diligently and well, and you'll you invest it properly, and it's going to be a nice trust, and after you pass away, there'll be something to give to the Shaiti. So even though the Rishon has the right and the authority to go and sell it, but Lechat Chila, he shouldn't sell it, so he should be able to Mekayim the Kavana of the Noisein. It's almost similar to the thought of the, you want to go Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. But here's Lav Dafke Mes, because we're even talking about a Bari. So it's a Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNoisein. The Noisein wanted that there should be property for the Shaini. Please, Lechat Chila, don't go and sell it. And that's what the second Brisa says. Ein L'Rishon L'Chilas Peres Bovod Lechat Chila, don't sell the Guf. You can go and sell your income stream. That's fine. That everybody agrees you have. But don't go beyond that. But what happens if the Rishon decided to go and sell it? Says the first Brisa. If he sold it, it was sold. He had the right and he had the authority to go and sell it. Jokti Gemariyat, a very strong statement of Abaya. Omer Abaya, a Zeu Rasha Orem, who is considered to be a cunning and sinister Rasha. Zamesi Eitzel Limkar Ben Achasim Reb Shimon Gamliel. Whoever suggests to the Rishon, you know what? If you want to, you can go and sell this property and leave nothing for the Shaini, because although Lechat Chila, you shouldn't be doing this, but Bidyebet, if you did it, it's effective. You can become a multimillionaire and then squander all the funds and waste them in Las Vegas and do whatever you want. You don't have to leave anything for the Shaini. Anyone giving that type of Eitzah is considered to be a Rosh Aram. So now you would think that certainly the Rishon himself is a Rosh Aram, because he is defying the original intent of the Noisin by selling it. Says Rishbam, no, no, no. The reason why we call the Mesi Eitzah a Rosh Aram is because he is a choite v'loy loy, meaning he is only causing trouble and he gets no benefit out of it. People that are just professional troublemakers, they don't get any benefit. You're a Rosh Aram. But the Rishon, he gets a benefit. He's going to go and get the millions when he goes and sells the property. See, he's not a Rashi, not a Rosh Aram. It's true that he's not being Mekayim, the original Kavon of the Noisin. Okay, but that's not one of the Tariq Mitzvahs. It would be nice if he makes that Noisin happy in the Oilam Emes. Yeah, it would be a wonderful thing. Gevaldik. But it doesn't have to. However, this officious intermeddler that's coming here from left field, having no business to get involved, he says, oh, but I have a good idea for you. If you want, you can go and sell it. That's considered to be a Rosh Aram. If you look at the Rishbam, four lines from the bottom of the Rishbam, all the way on the bottom, on the right-hand side, excuse me, it says, Ezeu Rosh Aram, Goyim Lavra Al-Divri Anoisin, he's causing the Rishon to be over, to violate the Kavona of the Noisin. He's Aram. The Ahani Masav, what he did was effective, and he's causing a chait, a sin, where he gets no benefit from the sin. He's not considered to be a Rasha, even though he's the one that's getting the money. Even though you're not allowed to do it, after all, it's not a chomer dikis, it's not a eating chazer or something like that. In the document, there is no limitation on the right and the authority of the Rishon to sell it. If the Rishon wants to sell it, he can't sell it. He's denying the Shady. Okay, it's not a nice thing to do. It may not be equitable, it may not be ethical, but it's certainly legal what he's doing. But this third party that's giving these aitzes, he's considered to be a Rosh Aram. Perhaps if he gets some sort of commission or some sort of payment, maybe not a Rosh Aram, because Rashbam says only because he's a choyte v'leiloi, he doesn't get any benefit from giving this aitzah. Maybe if he did get the financial benefit, maybe he wouldn't be a Rosh Aram. Anyway, but the Gemara doesn't address that. How do we pass it in this machloek between a Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel? That Lechat Chila, don't go and sell Mr. Yankel, you Rishon. But if he sold, it was effective.
Why do you say ethical behavior is not so important?
Ethical behavior is very important. We're just saying that there's something known as ethics and there's something known as the law.
In Lithuania, they used to say, Elachkeit, ethical behavior is for a year, Kumtat is for a galach.
For a galach, okay.
So ethical behavior is very important.
Rabbi Cohen, and consistent with what you're saying, that's why the Gemara says Lechat Chila, you're not supposed to sell it. Absolutely, what you're saying is Mamish Emes v'yatze v'nochem v'kayim v'yosh. And we continue on. Umoide, Reb Shimon Gamliel will agree. Shne b'sonen b'matonash chivmera loy osa klum. What does it mean, the son of a mitzvah shchemara? So this is going to be a very interesting Gemara now. We have again the noisein, we have the rishon and the sheni. The rishon and the sheni we call the yankel and beryl. Yankel, instead of selling the property, which he has the legal authority to do according to Mishnah Gamliel, what happens if he said, you know what, I'm not going to sell it, but I'm going to give this property away when he himself was a shchiv mera, and he's giving it to a third or fourth party, to Shmerel, or to Reuven Shimon, Levi Yehudi Yisachar, somebody else. The question is, was this effective? Since Mishnah Gamliel says that he has the right to go and sell it, he certainly has the right to give it as a present, and now he's giving it as a present as a shchimra. What difference is a shchimra or a regular present? Because a regular present is chal immediately. Shchimra present would be chal, like the case of Mayoimul Achamisa, after he passes away. Well, the acharecha, going from Yankel to Beryl, also happens after Yankel passes away. So now the question is, if in fact Yankel, instead of selling the property, he goes and says, I give this property away, my Yom HaLachami said that it's going to be Chal after I, Yankel, pass away. And at the same time, the original Noisin said that the property goes to Beryl after Yankel passes away. Then who does the property go to? Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, says Agimaru, Moidir, Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree, Shin Mesonim Matonis Shchimra, that if Yankel, instead of selling it, or instead of giving it as a Matonis Bori, immediately to a third party, if he gave it the Matonis Shchimra, Liosa Klum, then Beryl the Shani would get it, and not that other potential recipient of the Matonis Shchimra. My time, what's the reason? Omer Abaye. Because Matan Shchimra Loikona Eloli Achar Misa. Ukvar Kodmoy Acharecha. What the Gemara is doing is what the world calls hair splitting. And this, in fact, is a very hair splitting Svara. Because what the Gemara is really splitting now between seconds and perhaps even in fractions of a second. What the Gemara is saying is, I have two competing situations. I have the original Noisein that says that after Yankel passes away, the property will go to Beryl. I have Yankel that says that when I, Yankel, pass away, the property will go to Shmerel. Who gets it? Says Imar, goes to Beryl. Why does it go to Beryl? Because the Acharecha takes effect a second before the Matonah Shchimra that Yankel gave to Shmerel. El liachavi, the matana shchimra likona el liacha misa. After misa is totally over, ukvar kodmo acharecha, and the acharecha came in before. Now, when did the acharecha come in before? I mean, it can't come in when the guy is still alive. It's only when he's dead. So that's liacha misa. So the Rishbam explains, and as we'll see this in the Gemara in another moment, the Gemara holds that the matana shchimra is koina only the after misa, but the acharech is koina bishas gemar misa. When Yankel is breathing his last breath on this world, his last gasp, his last breath, at that very moment, the gemar misa, boom, it goes directly acharecha to Beryl, to the second guy. It's only after that final gasp and that final breath takes place, the doctor says, okay, it's all over. That's now the Li'achar Misa. That's when the Matana Shchimra would normally take effect. But it's already too late, because the Acharecha preceded it by a millisecond, the second of the Gemar Misa, which preceded the Li'achar Misa.
If the person wants to subvert this mechanism, this fraction of the second, and as a Shchimra, he says, I'm giving this to Shmerel. I don't want to go to the original second guy, to Beryl.
Right, right.
I wanted to go to Shmerel.
Right.
And I wanted to go not as towards Shmerel, but I wanted to go a moment before the Acharecha, before...
He can give him Matanis Bari. He can go and say, I'm going to give it to you right now.
So he can, as it were, supersede his rights as a Shmerel and give it to this Shmero,
mm-hmm,
as a matnas bari, even though he's himself in a shchimra and he's eligible for Torah shchimra, he could subvert this, as it were.
Every single shchimra has at all least powers. The rights of the Bari, in addition to the rights of the Shchimra that we have given him, that the Shchimra Ksub Chsarim Dami, you don't have to go and make any Kinyonim, but certainly he has a right as a Bari too, even though he's not Mechash Shchimra. So he wants to give it a present outright, I hereby give this to...
He's not handcuffed in this.
No, not at all.
As long as he's aware of the law, he can subvert this mechanism.
He's just given extra rights.
Sorry?
Not to be aware of the law.
He doesn't, well, it helps, but even if he doesn't aware, it depends on what he said. And then the rabbis will have to figure out whether what he said was effective or not.
So it sounds like Isser Chala Isser type of a thing. It feels like there's like there's like one thing is in place on this property, and the Rishon is trying now to place something else on top of it. We're saying that you can't. It's like an Isser Chala Isser type.
Okay.
Mechanism. It feels like it.
Okay. If you look at the Rishbam in the left-hand margin, you see there's no Tosis on this Omid. There's only Rishbam. So in the left-hand margin, the first Rishbam, not really the second Rishbam, it's about 10, 12 lines from the top. The Gemara says, "My time, Omer Abaye, Maton Shchimra, Emes Matonas Shchimra, Emes Havia LaAcher Misa, Ukvar Kod Me Acherecha, Hai Sheni." That's the Beryl in our example. That the Noisin said about him, you're the Acherecha guy, you're number two. He gets it a split moment before the Matonish Chimera potential recipient from Yankov. Why? The Mishoa Shehizchel Hairishain Litroith. As soon as the first one begins litroif, I assume that litroif over here means that he's passing on. So kona hasheni, the second one is koina. The acharecha im gimar misa mashma. Acharecha is at the time of gimar misa, not li achar misa, but gimar misa mashma. The misha, the ein harishon tzarich lenechosim halalu. As soon as the rishon no longer needs this because he's nebuch breathing his last breath, he's no longer going to need this income. Oh, you no longer need it. It goes now from Yankel to Beryl. In a split instant, immediately. Don't pass go, don't pay $200. Immediately it goes from Yankel to Beryl, even though Yankel is technically still alive because it's Gemar Misa, but at that final moment of Gemar Misa, it transfers from one to the other. The Matona Shchimra did not transfer at the time of Gemar Misa, but only after the Gemar Misa. Why? We're looking into the human psyche, and we're saying, a normal person, when does he want to leave his money for somebody else? Only after it's conclusively decided that he is no longer. He, after all, the person wants that money for himself. He needs it for his daily activities. Only after it's decided that he's no longer around, then he parts with it. But even if there's still a slim amount of possibility that he's still around, he's bigmar misasai, but it's not la'acha misasai, he is still holding on to the reins, he's still holding on tightly to mechosim. Aval the elder noisin solik nafshi mehani mechosim, the difference between the noisin case and Yankel, the Rishon cases, because the noisin, he has parted ways with these mechosim once and for all. He says, it's not mine, I've given it to the Rishon, and then it goes to the Sheni. Sharon is on the Rishon. It's chavit, so he wants she yiska sheni im gemar misasa shel rishon. So bottom line is the difference between the noisein and between the rishon, who is also a noisein bit matana shchimra. The difference is that the noisein, since he's parted with his nechasim already a while ago, as soon as the rishon no longer needs it, bigmar misasai, boom, transfers over from rishon to sheni, from Yankel to Beryl. However, Yankel doesn't want to part with these nechosim, even if there is a slim glimmer of hope that he might stick around on this world. So it's only after it's all over, when the death certificate has been signed, so to speak. In other words, la'achar gmar misasai, then it would transfer to Shmerel. Shmerel will not get it because it's already too late. Beryl has already received it. B'shas gemar misa. Presumably, the whole difference between b'shas gemar misa and the acher gemar misa is just 1 second. Vazei is the halacha according to this Gemara that even Reb Shimon Gamliel that holds that you can go and part that the original Yankel could go and sell the Nechasim. Yeah, he can do that. But if you give him a ton of Shemar al Yosaklum, because by the time Shmuel would get it, it's already too late because Beryl has already gotten it before as a result of the mechanical operation of the original Noisins saying Acharach. So who's come to Chayis? According to Abaye, now we see that Matan Shchimer leKona el liAchar Misa. Matan Shchimer leAchar Misa. Treiti Mar mi Omer Abaye Hachin. Abaye say that. But Itmar, we in fact had a machloekis about this precise issue, and it's in Matan Shchimer meInesai Kona Abaye Omar in Gemar Misa. Who? V'rova Omer liAchar Gemar Misa. So the distinction that we made before and the pshat that we said before, like Rova, is perfect. Rav Bataka holds, Matan Shchimer leAchar Gemar Misa, very good. But Abaye, who was the person who said that memory, Omer Abaye, Matan Shchimer leKona leAchar Misa, he himself holds that Matan Shchimer is Koina im Gemar Misa. And therefore, if both Matan Shchimer is Koina im Gemar Misa, and the Acharecha is Koina im Gemar Misa, says Rishbam, they should split it. They should split it Bishava, because it happened simultaneously. Look at the next Rishbam. Skipper Rishbam im Gemar Misa, Alma Bahadi Hadodi Kano. Both the Acharecha happened by Gemar Misa, and the Matan Shchimra happened by Gemar Misa. They happened Bahadi Hadodi simultaneously. They should split it down the middle. Why did the Gemara say Liyamaklam?
Why is it simultaneous? If Shmuel is getting it through Matan Shchimra, he doesn't need to make a kinyan.
Acharecha doesn't have to make a kinyan either.
What?
The barrel doesn't have to make a kinyan either.
Why? Why? Because he got his Matan Shchimra from the Nosein?
Well, Matan Shchimra was a Matana from the Nosein.
No, but even a Matana is a kinyan. The thing is, a Matan Shchimra doesn't need a
form. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in today's daf, whether or not there is a requirement. What happens if, for instance, the Nosein gives this Matana to Acharecha? And the Acharecha screams and says, I don't want it. I don't want this Matan. Does he automatically get it against his will? Or do you go and say that, no, if he doesn't want it, it was koined, he doesn't want it. No. The Gemara is going to make a distinction between whether he was initially tzavach or shosak v'achakach tzavach. From that Gemara, as we'll see in Mi'at Shem, it becomes apparent that if initially, whenever either the Noisim made a declaration, or Yaakov made a declaration of Matan Shchimra, if the recipient said nothing, he becomes, it comes to him automatically, and from that point on, if he no longer wants it, he's going to have to go and be mafker it, or give it to somebody else away the Matan. But bottom line is, according to Rishbam, according to our Gemara, these two Matanis will now be chal simultaneously, yet Abaye said before, that when a Matan Shchimra, it's already too late. Why is it too late? Because Kodmach Acharecha, the Acharecha is Bishas Gemar Misa. The Matan Shchimra is only Chal Liachar Gemar Misa. Abaye himself also holds that it's Im Gemar Misa by Matan Shchimra. So both of them get the Gemar Misa. What's going on? Everything more Hodbe Abaye Meyahi. Abaye changed his mind, and subsequently he learned Taka like Rava, that Matan Shchimra is koina only liachar gemar misa, and since it's only koina liachar gemar misa, that's why Kuntrim Shem Gamliel, if someone wanted to part with the property, the Rishon Yankel gave it to Shmerel be Matan Shchimra, since it's only chal liachar gemar misa, like Rava says explicitly, and now like the Gemara says that Horde be Abaye, the Abaye agrees with Rava, then the Acharecha would get first, because the Acharecha gets it b'shas gemar misa, and the Matan Shchimra will only be chal liachar gemar misa. Frank Dimara, it's true that Abaye had charota from one of his members. Maybe he changed his mind from the first one, and maybe he holds taka like the second one. And if it's like the second one, then Abaye holds Matan Shchimra as taka koina im Gemar Misa. And in fact, therefore, then both the Acharecha man and the Matan Shchimra recipient, both of them would go and get simultaneously, and they both own it together. So it's one of those kinds. And this Kanish Zayin, Abaye certainly had charota from his second halacha, and he holds like Rava, Matan Shchimra is only the Acher Gemar Misa. Why? Now we learned in the Mishnah, the Gabi Hilchas Gittin. Zegitech im Macy, Zegitech Mechoilizet, Zegitech Leachar Misa, Leomaklum. A husband says to his wife, he's unfortunately about to pass on, or he's at least concerned that he will pass away, and perhaps we have a Yibam and Chalitza potential issue over here. So he says to his wife, you know what? Zegitech, this will be a get im Macy, Chas V'Shalom, if I pass away. Zegitech Mechoilizet. Again, if I pass away from this krankite, from this sickness, zegiter la'achamisa, this get will be chal. You will be divorced achamisa after I pass away. In all of these three cases, ain get li'achamisa. Now the third case, that's the easiest case, zegiter la'achamisa. He said explicitly, this will be a get la'achamisa after misa, ain get la'achamisa. But what's shown in the first two cases? Why, when it says zegiter im meisi, why doesn't that work? So Rishbam says that Gitach HaMeisi is the equivalent of what we had yesterday. It's Mehayoim Ula'achar Misa. Aha. Okay. So what's the Mehayoim Ula'achar Misa? It's only going to be Chal after the Misa. Why is it only going to be Chal after the Misa? Why don't we say that it's Chal when the person is still alive? Either Mehayoim or even Begmar Misasai. When he's still that final gasp, that final breath. Why don't we say that it's Chalet, and he's still technically alive, even though one foot is already in Gan Eden. But nevertheless, as long as he's still around, say it's in Gemar Misa. And it's Gemar Misa, he's still legally around, and therefore the get should be Chal at that moment. Since we don't say that, but we say Liyam HaKlum, it's crystal clear from that Mishnah that the get is only Chal, not Bigmar Misasai, but Li'achar Misasai. Oh, based on that Mishnah, Zoktabaya, Rava, you're absolutely right.
When does he give the
get? One second. The Matonesh Chimra, as well as the get that we just spoke about, will not be Chal Bigmar Misasai, but only Li'achar Gemar Misa. Since Li'achar Gemar Misa, the get will not be Chal, because Ein Get Li'achar Misa. Yes, Rabbi Kol.
If you give her the get, as soon as you give her the get, it should be automatically. That shouldn't be something, if Chal after whatever it is.
And 99.9% of the cases, you're right. When a husband Nebuch gives a get to his wife, it's Chal immediately. As soon as he puts it in her hands, it's done. She is now divorced. However, here he added a stipulation, either in the get itself, or orally, or both. And he said, I don't want this get to be Chal now. I want it to be Chal in Macy, if Chas V'Shalom I were to pass away. Now, without this Mishnah, one could have said that it should be Chal a minute before he passes away. Or it should be Chal at the time of Gemar Misa, because that's what he's saying. This should be get if and when Chas V'Shalom I pass away. But what the Mishnah says, it's not Chal when he's still alive. It's not Chal Bigmar Misa. It's only, it might have had the effect, if it were to be a successful get, it would have been Chal Li'achar Misa. But since Ain Get La'achar Misa, it's unsuccessful, and therefore Le'omaklum. So based on this Mishnah, Abaye realized that things don't happen at the time of Gemar Misa, it happens post Gemar Misa, just like Rava said, and that's why Hodebe Abay Miyahi from the second halacha, not from the first halacha.
The get should be valid only when you hand it to her.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hand it to her beforehand, you understand?
It's tonight.
What happens if he gives a condition? He gives a get to her and he says, this should be chal as soon as you give me $1,000. And she gives him $1,000 a week later. It'll only be effective a week later. Whenever you're mekayim the tanai, it's like any stipulation, like any condition. You even have today, by closing in a house, you can have post-closing stipulations and conditions, and if the person doesn't meet them, then the whole closing won't close. Anyway, getting back now to the case of the acharecha, and now we're going to give a very interesting, this is a, if you will, a wrinkle in the normal halacha of the acharecha. Remember, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel concluded that when a person gives property to a Rishon, to our Yankel, Yankel has a full power and authority to go and sell the property. We don't recommend him doing it. L'chadchili shouldn't do it. But if he did it b'diavad, he's within his legal rights. So now the Gemara says, Omer Abzeira Omer B'yoychanan, Halach and Shimon Gamliel, like we already said before, V'afilu hoyu behen avodim v'oitzian l'chayris. What happens if among the nechosim that the Noisen left for the Rishon, for Yankel, there was some avodim. And instead of going and selling the avodim, he went and he was moitzi l'cheres. This Rishon was a very good-hearted individual. He said, these avodim have worked long enough. We're not talking about Eved Ivri, we're talking about Eved Kenani. And they worked long enough. I want to go and free them, and they should have freedom. What's the halacha? It works. It is effective. No problem. Just like he could have sold the avodim, he can free the avodim. He has all the legal rights. Pay the marpshita. What's the chiddush? It's chadav portion. The Gemara is saying, "Ma'om aleila mebat isura lo yavina loch." Because have we asked the noisin? The noisin said, "Might have said." The noisin is no longer around. Had the noisin been around, and we would have asked him, "Mister, do you want your Eved Kenani to go and be freed?" He might have said no. Now you're saying, why would he say no? Isn't that cruel? Isn't that terrible? No! The reason is because, in fact, there's a famous machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But Gemara is going according to the Man Yoma that holds that when it says in the Pasuk, l'oilam behem ta'avoidu, this is not just a nice thing or not a nice thing, but rather this is a chiyav, this is a mitzvah asay. Oilam behem ta'avoidu, a person is not allowed to free an Eved Kenani. He has to keep him forever. And if a person is Mishachar Eved Kenani, he is Oyver Basay. It's a machlokes in the Gemara. But our Gemara is going according to the Man Yoma that holds that you're Oyver Basay. So Sol Kadaita Chamina, according to that Man Yoma, if the Rishon freed his Avadim, maybe it should not be an enforceable allowing them to go free. Why not? Because the Noisin certainly would not have, I don't know, certainly, but probably would not have wanted the Rishon to go and free them. And he, Noisin, would be machshel the Rishon by allowing him to be over on a mitzvah saseh of the oil man, the avoidu, kamash malon, even though he's taka over. But bottom line is, he had the right to be over this isser, and he had the legal right, although he'd be over this saseh, by freeing them. That's the kamash malon. And the Gemara says a similar case. Even if all of the property that was left by the Noisin, he, the Rishon, went and converted it all to cash. And with that cash he went and bought and made Tachrichim for a mess. That is also effective. Now, what's the difference between making tachrich and making and buying oranges or apples? What's the difference? Oh, amare same l'shavinu isuri hano loyhavilach, because tachrich and mess are by definition osir bano. So therefore, if the Rishon passes away and leaves over tachrichim for the Sheni can't have any benefit from them. So I might have thought that were we to ask the Noisin, you're giving all the rights in the world to the Rishon, even to go make these nechosim asur b'ana. Ah, come on. My whole intention was that the Sheni should have some ana from this. But maybe if the Rishon wants to go and sell it, he needs the money or whatever, okay, fine. He has that legal right, but to go and convert these goods into goods which are isra anah, doshinish. So I might have thought, kamash molanei, that the Rishon has all the rights to go and free avodim, he'll be over nasei, but he has the right to do it. He has the right to go and convert all of this property to tachrich lames, even though it's going to be osir bihanah.
Osir bihanah because they used it, or even unused tachrich.
That's a very good question. The Mefarshim talk about whether it was for a specific mess, whether it was for Mason generally. No question that if you've already designated it for Yankel Smith, that who passed away, that's certainly Asim Banah. Question is if you made general Tachrichim a mess without any specific person in mind. But Rabbi Cohen, Malikoyim the basic forest. You shouldn't worry about things like this. You have to stay away.
Not a practical.
You shouldn't even think about the word death. You're Baruch Hashem, Chai V'Kayim. Only talk about living things and good things. And now we go from the regular cases, and now we're going to talk about Esroigim for a moment. Joktimar, Dorishem Nachman Barav Chisim. Esrig ze nosim l'chob matona. I'm giving you this Esrig, and you can hold on to this Esrig, and keep it as long as you are alive. And after you pass away, assuming that the esrig is still around and it's still good, then it goes the point. He goes to the next guy. This is not an acharecha that you know it's the middle of sukkis and two people come into shul and they don't have esrogim. Okay, Yankel, you use the esrig first, and when you're finished, you're going to give it to Beryl. No, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the Yamid base. Here we're talking about our case of our Gemara. He gave it initially to Rishon to keep, and then after you pass away, it goes be. Maybe Yerusha, or goes Acharecha, to Ploini, to the second guy. What's halach? Netali Rishay miyatzibay. What happens if the first person took the esrig? Obviously, he added three other minim, and he shuckled down, he shuckled it up and down, he made a shachiyano, made with alafir zaitin, he used it for nanuim, all the rest. The question is, was he yoitze or not? Well, why should it be a shiloh? He gave it to Matan. He says, it's yours. Oh. What's the machleik? According to Rabbi, kinyan a pedis lav ki kinyan a guf dami. Oh. So he doesn't even own the esrig. Slav ki kinyan a guf. And therefore, if he doesn't own it, it's got to be lekachim lacham. It's got to be. It's not his. He only has a kinyan pedis. He has a kinyan a guf. Therefore, he's not yoitze. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, kinyan peiris ki kinyan guf dami avad is yoitze. As long as he's alive, it belongs to him, lock, stock, and barrel. It's kinyan guf. So he would be yoitze. Azay zok to Gemara, l'choyre, it's totally if he was yoitze or not. Maskar of Nachbar Yitzchak. 1 second. Ad kan lo vigar b'nei b'shimon gamliel hosam. The marsa v'kinyin peiris ki kinyin guf tami. Or marsa v'kinyin peiris lav ki kinyin guf tami. Meaning, whether in addition to the kinyin peiris, what do we say that kinyin peiris is deemed to be? It's considered legally like kinyin guf. But everybody holds for sure that he has the kinyin peiris. Says the Rishbam, when you're thinking about real estate, what's the kinyan peiros? The kinyan peiros are the peiros of that real estate. The income stream. Either that you're going to cut the peiros and sell them or eat them, or you leased this property to somebody else and got the income stream. That's the peiros of the property. What's the peiros of an esrig? The esrig is the right to use this esrig for the mitzvah. I'm giving you the esrig for what? Not to go and plant it, not to go and kill it. To go and use it for the mitzvah. So that's the peiros. If that's the case, zok to Yomara, elahacha, imeifik loinavik bay, lamayavi nilay. What was the noisant intention in the first place to give the esrig to Yankel and v'acharecha to Beryl? So the Yankel should go and put it in his vitrine and put it in a nice plastic box. He gave it to him to be able to use for the mitzvah esrig. That's the kinyan peiros. That everybody holds that he has a kinyan peiros, even if you don't have the kinyan aguf. The peiros of this esrig is the right to use it for zikis. So everybody agrees that you're yoitz.
That's going to be next shtickle.
The original Rishon, if he uses it for Araminim, he's yoitz. What is then the machloik is? Like Barry was just saying, machoro oyachola. What happens if, or on the side it says, Mecharoi or Yachaloi, I guess an Esrig is a Lashon Zohar, not a Lashon Akeva, creates Hodor, not Hadorach, right? Anyway, but the point is, if he went and sold the Esrig, or he ate the Esrig, that would be one of the Machloikas, Rabbi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That according to Rabbi, you have no right to go and sell it or to eat it, because you only have the benefit, the income stream from this esrig, which would allow you to go and shuck a lulav an esrig, but you can't go and sell it or eat it. And if the person, in fact, did sell it, then you'd be able to go, the sheni would be able to be moitzi out of the kuchos, or get his money back. Machenkin, according to Shem Gamliel, since he has the full right and authority to go and sell it, he can sell it, he can eat it, he can do whatever we want. But everybody would agree, he would be able to go and use it, and he would yoitz the mitzvah for Aramin. Now that's the case of the Acharecha. Now we're going to go off a little bit on a tangent, and we're going to talk about Tefusa Sabayis. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Tfusas abayis means an estate which is still intact and has not been subdivided yet among the Yarshim. So either the father was an esrig soicher, or the father owned at least one esrig, and he left that tfusas abayis that was part of the estate, or he left money or other nechassim, and the children use the money or other nechassim to buy an esrig. And this esrig still belongs, it's still in trust, it's still part of the estate, it doesn't belong to anyone yet. Okay, Nataliyachamiyah, now it took his time. This is a beautiful esrig. So one of the Yorshim took the esrig, and he was Nataliyah, he made Natilis Lulav with the esrig, the Yatsabai. And he wanted to be yoitza his mitzvah. Was he yoitza or not? Zokti Yimara, im yachali oichloi yotza. If instead of going and using this esrig for Araminim, if he had the legal right to go and eat the esrig, then he would be yoitza. V'im lav, if he didn't have that legal right, lo yotza. Now what it means he has the legal right to eat it, he doesn't have the legal right to eat it, but Yimara means to say, explains the Rishbam, would the brothers be makbid or not? Keep lamidzoyin umedbeis. Mal be'erach tzein tzvel ashidus umayin. So what the Gemara is telling us is that if the other brothers are not makbid, and they say gezinta hait, you can eat it, but make sure you make a boy the pre-ait when you eat it. And if for the first time he's ever eaten this esrog in his life, or at least this year, you have to make a shachiyoni too. Do you make shachiyoni before or after you make the boy pre-ait? That's also an interesting shaila, because the chayit is a hafsi. Okay, ayin b'pasim. Beginning back to Agimura now, the Gemara says is if the brothers are not makbid, and therefore yachal oichloi, he's yotzer. Now why wouldn't the brothers be makbid, explains Rishbam, because maybe the father left over not only one esrog, maybe left over esrogim harbe. He was an esrog soicher, and there's 100 esrogim over here, and there are only 99 brothers. So this fella can go and eat it, and he can go and make esrog jam out of it, or he can go and make esrog liqueur out of it, or he can go and use it for alatilas lulav, no problem. They're not makbid. There's plenty of esrogim to go around. Or, says Rishbam, even if the estate doesn't have, but there are plenty of esrogim out there in the marketplace, and therefore any one of the brothers could go and buy another esrog. Or, says Rishbam, it's so much a kvar yotzu. The others already used this esrog, and they were already yotzu. So he's the last brother on the block, and he hasn't used it yet, and he wants to use it. The other brothers say, we don't need it anymore, because it's tight, you can use it, fine, you know, last day of yontif, or the rice is the first day of yontif, or whatever. But the point is that he can go and have every right to eat it, and yochali oichloi, since he has all the rights, he's yotzu. Himlam, and if not, he's not yotzu. Now why is this different than the previous halacha that we're talking about the Acharecha case? Explains the Rishbam, because we know when it comes to halacha of Esrik Shtayim the Pusik, Ulekachtem Lachem V'yayim Arishayin, it's got to belong to you. If it's got to belong to you, if it's talking about Acharecha case, says Rishbam, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, and even according to Rabbi, as long as it belongs to the Rishayin, and it doesn't belong to the Acharecha person yet, then the Rishon has every right to use it. He is the only owner of this property at this time. The Acharecha has a future interest, but he has no present interest. Who has the present interest? Only the Rishon. And he has the Kinyan Peiris. Even if you hold Kinyan Peiris, love Kinyan Guptami. But he got the Kinyan Peiris. The Kinyan Peiris over here by an Esrog is the right to use it for the Arba Minim on Sukkis, Yoitza, according to everyone. But here we're talking about brothers that are a Shutfim in the same estate. Oh, the Din of Lochem, says Rishbam, has got to be exclusively yours. If you have two Shutfim in an Esrog, it doesn't work. Two people bought an Esrog together, neither of them are considered Lochem, neither of them are going to be Yoitza. In fact, Igmar finishes off, and the Rishbam is not goydus these few words, as well as the Bach is not goydus. The Dafke the Ike Esrig Lechol Chad V'Chad, that all the other brothers had their own Esroyim. Avu Porish, Oyrim Mein Loi. However, if they didn't have the own Esroyim, but instead they had another fruit, which was the monetary equivalent of an Esrig costs $100, and this Porish or Riman were also $100 or whatever, so then we would not say this din. So Rishbam says, basically, the Gemara is just repeating itself and is saying, Im yochel oichloi, if he has the right to eat it, he's yoitza. If he doesn't have the right to eat it, he's not yoitza. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, why would he have the right to eat it? Because there are plenty of esroyim to go around. They cast you kachol chad v'chad. Either because the estate has a lot of esroyim, or because in the marketplace there are a lot of esroyim, or everybody's already been yoitza with the esroyim. So Rishbam says that these words are unnecessary. It's an unnecessary gloss on what we were just speaking about. But the Rishbam does bring an interesting minhag, which is Nagia L'choyre even today. If you look at the second of the wide lines of the Rishbam, towards the end of the line, it says, Uminig Shalonu, our minig, says Rishbam, Shenogu Levarach Kol HaKol Bi Esrig Echad. Of course, it's hard for us to understand here in America, because you go to the Esrog Soich and he has 10,000 Esrogim with 12 different Hashguchis, different sizes, Mita Pitam, Una Pitam, different prices,
green, yellow,
orange, all types of things. But in the good old days in Europe, they were the entire Kehillahs where there was only one Esrog to go around. So the minig was that everybody bought, the whole kul together bought one Esrog, and the whole kul was Noig Levorech, the Esrog Echad. How can you? Didn't you just say now in the Gemara that if you have two Shudfim, it's not exclusively Lachem, and you're not Yoitzah? Jacques of Dame the Rishbam, Tateinu Maskemes losses Kol Echad B'matona Es Chelke L'Chaveiroi. When they bought it, it's as if all of them were maskim L'Chatchila, that as soon as Yankel needs it, Yankel, it's yours. You're finished, Beryl, you need it, Beryl, now it's yours. Beryl, you're finished, now Shmerel, it's yours. Datenu, the Das HaKol Maskemet, they all agreed and approved. When Beryl needs it, Yankel gives away all of his chavik, Shmerel gives away all of his chavik, Reuven gives away all of his chavik, it belongs now exclusively to that individual. The Avagab the Loi Parish, even if they didn't have a town meeting prior to the purchase of the Esrig, where everybody signs a piece of paper and says, we hereby solemnly declare that if and when one of us needs this Esrig, we all hand over, we transfer, we assign, we convey all of our right, title, and interest in this Esrig, even if they didn't do that. It's command the parish dummy, it's just like a matana manas lahachzir type of situation, which is going to be the next shtickle gemara. So lahachi miyadas kalikol shava, we impute in their minds that they all agree. Shinanasim lachol echad ad shivarach alav v'yachikach yachzir, and give it back, and then somebody else will use it. Only need it for Yom Tov Rishon, not for Yom Tov Sheni, because Yom Tov Sheni it doesn't have to be lachem. It's only a chiyah min ha-toyra. And therefore, only on the first day you have this issue, and not on the second day, etc. Anyway, so bottom line is that's a very exciting minig shalonu levorech kol hakol b'esrig echad. Reminds me of a story that was written about Rabbi Prero Zichron Levracha. Who is Rabbi Prero Zichron Levracha? I may be mispronouncing his name, but he was the shver of the late Rav Teitz Zichron Levracha. Rav Teitz, who was the Ruv in Elizabeth. Preil. Oh. Mendy corrects me, Yeshikoyach was Rabbi Preil, not Rabbi Preil. He was the Shver of Rabbi Taitzachan of Racham. And it was Erev Sukkis, and Rabbi Preil was already frail, and no pun intended with the rhyme, but he called up another Rav of another town. He was Rav in Elizabeth before Rabbi Taitz. He called up his friend from Jersey City or from another local community, Newark, Echweiss, and he said, can you do me a favor, please? Please come over right away to my house. I need you very, very desperately. He said, Rabbi Preil, it's Erev Yontif. You know, everybody's busy. Erev Yontif, Araminim, Aruvis, putting up the sukkah, getting everything ready. Rabbi Preil says, please, I'm desperate. Please come on over. So the rabbi came on over, and Rabbi Preil said to him, I'm afraid, I don't know what's going to happen, I feel very, very weak, I feel very frail, we only have one Esrig and Lulav in town which I bought, I want to be mezake it to the kohol, but I can't be mezake myself, you have to mezake al yedei acher, right. Just like when you have by an Erev, you can't go and be mezake, you have to have a shliach to mezake for everybody else. I want to be mezake you, that you should be the representative on behalf of the whole kohol, that it should belong to the kohol, it should no longer belong to me, it should belong to you, so that they should all be able to go and shakal lulav and esrig on Sukkis without any problems. This other rabbi, forget his name, Rabbi Smith, Rabbi Jones, Rabbi Rosenberg, whatever, he accepted him. He says, yes, okay, I zoiche on behalf of the whole kol, this should be their esrig for the Avraminim, for Sukkis. And P.S., Rabbi Preil passed away a few hours later. What do you see from this story? See from the story is an Eilech Yid. He is worried at the last moment, not about himself. He's worried about his congregants, about the Gantz Kol, that they should have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrig. Because had he passed away and not been mezakeh the acher, it wouldn't belong to anyone. I guess, presumably, it would belong to the Yarshim. As you can well imagine, it would be a very complicated set of circumstances. So therefore, he wanted to make it clear that it belongs to them. And that's why he called over the other rabbi on Erev Yom Tov Shnel. Go and be zoicha to for everybody else.
I experienced the British put a blockade on Esregim going out of Palestine,
uh-huh,
where Israel became state.
Yeah.
Just by Hashem of Abba, we got one Esreg in the mail. We always
wow.
used to get every year.
Mm-hmm.
I ran with that Esreg to Shul before Howland to get them to be able to do the Esreg.
You see that? Psh. Yeah, as they guide us. Anyway.
What year was it now?
The British didn't let in, but we got one the last day in the mail. We used to
what
get it
year?
Here.
Do you remember what calendar year?
Less than 40.
I have to ask my brother. I can't remember.
Less than earlier than 47.
When they had the blockade, they didn't let any Israelis come out.
Okay.
It was probably in the 40s. And we continue. Rabbi Cohen was a very young child at that time, but he still remembers it vividly, Baruch Hashem. And we continue on. Omer Rava. This is our famous case throughout Sukkis. When a person doesn't have an esrig, he borrows from someone else. He doesn't borrow it. He receives it matana. I give it to you matana. On condition that you give it back to me. Natali, he took it. Viyotzaboy, and he used it for Natilis love. And Hechziro, if afterwards he returned it, he's Yotze. Because he was Mekayim the Tanai. Amanashu Tachzireli. Lo Yechziro, lo Yotze. If he doesn't give it back and he keeps it, he's not Yotze. What's the Kamash Malan? The Matana Santa Hachse, Shema Matana. Matana Hasla Hachse works. And that's the basis of anybody borrowing a Sroigim nowadays. And from the previous Rishbam, it's Mashman, that even if he doesn't say expressly, Matana Amanas Lahachsir, if, in other words, he doesn't use the term Matana, I say, can I borrow your Esrig? Then presumably, that's the intent, you know, that everybody should be able to go and use it. Halacha L'maaseh, of course, look up in Shulchan Aruch, but that's presumably the reason why people are not so fastidious about expressly saying, it's a Matana Amanas Lahachsir, because that's all implicit, that everybody understands that. The question is, when you make such a matana, and you're saying that this is implicit tanai amanas lahachzir, do you have to go and do it with a tanai kofel, just like we find that tanai b'nei god b'nei ruvein, l'choira, according to Remeir, according to the halacha, anytime you make a tanai, it's got to be a tanai kofel, and a tanai koidu lamasa, all the halachas that we learned from b'nei god b'nei ruvein. So you have a monumental Rishbam here on our Amud, which is a major machloikis among all of the Rishonim and the Poskim, whether or not every Tanai that's ever made has to be made mit the Tanai Kofel, mit the Tanai Kodim Lamasa, etc. If you look at the Rishbam, seven lines in, the Rishbam begins V'im Lav. Now go to the end of that line, V'af El Gav. To the Gabi Gittin Kaim Alon Kere Meir De Boi Tanai Kofel. Iskin Shmuel begitin shchimara, etc. Hani mili inyan gitin bekidushin. Who do be inan tanai kafel lechat chila l'ravcha the milta the ofin mitanai benigad ubenay ruuve. Mi legabi dinin mamnis loy be inan tanai kafel. By mamnis you don't need a double tanai. El giluye dat be alma. The kim in the omer amnasha tachsi reuli. He didn't say the inverse. In other words, he didn't say, if you give it back to me, I go to my tonye. If you don't give it back to me, no matter. He didn't say that. Says Rishbam, I have a raya that you don't have to have this tonight kofel. Other than Dine Mominus. What's my raya?
Other than Kiddushin Gittin.
I'm sorry. Other than by Gittin Kiddushin. Thank you very much. How do I know? Because I'll find you other Dine Mominus where you just go Basar Oymen Adas. Oymen Adas means we just assess what the person's Kabbana was. He brings the case, Kigoyin HaKoysin Chasam Li'ishtoy. What we learned about last week. A person gave his entire Famegan, all of his Nechasim to his wife. Says the Gemara, is it Chal? No. So what did he go and do it for?
He made her not
betrapis. It doesn't say a word about betrapis. I looked in the whole document, I don't see any word about betrapis. But that's the oimadas. So you see, even though he didn't say anything explicitly, we impute in his mind and in his intentions, he only meant her to be the apotropis. Here too, even if he didn't say expressly, if you give it back to me, yeah. If you don't give it back to me, nish. He didn't make it tonight, kofel. You don't have to make it tonight, kofel, because we impute in his mind that that's what he intended. You don't have to say it expressly. It's only by getting the kiddushin, achumra, there you have to go and say expressly the tanai kofel. Zognim afarshim, those that disagree with this Rishbam, that kol ha'Torah kula, any tanai, you always have to have a tanai kofel, but that tanai kodel ha'mas, etc. And the reason why the Gemara doesn't mention it, because we just rely on a general idea, so we don't have to say every single time. And the Gemara said before about eating the esrog. Why did the Gemara say, but don't forget to make a bayir priya eitz? And if you have a shir kazayis, you have to go and make a bayir nefush. Why did the Gemara say it? We know that. You don't have to repeat it every time. So therefore, it's a machloik is what you need. All of the bells and whistles by Tanoim outside of the case of Gittin Mikidush.
The original one is that?
Yeah. So Dr. Goldfarb points out correctly, L'choyre, the whole Tanai Gabri Ruvin, they're not talking about Gittin Mikidushin. They were talking about a Chelik Bar, it's that Dine Mominus. And if you're learning it from that, the Choyre shall learn to Dine Mominus. Very good. Presumably, that's what the other Mepharshim bring as a riot to their halacha.
What is the B'nai Yisrael doing in Midbar when we come to Esrog?
What's Esrig?
No Esrig in Hebrew.
I don't know. Yeah, if you have to ask historians, ask Yair, he'll be here next time. Yachem, you'll ask him, what did they do about the Esrigim in the times of Midbar? Yeah, what did Lubavitcher say?
They have Yan of Esrigim.
Oh, so they imported it from Yanova. Oh, very good. So they imported it.
Anan HaKovei brought it.
Anan HaKovei brought it from Yanova. Beautiful. Gvalik. Okay, next you can Hay Itza, there was a lady who was unidentified. The Havala Dikla Be'arad Rabibi Barabai. She owned a dekel, a tree, in Rabibi Barabai's property. Apparently, Rabibi Barabai sold her one tree. Or maybe Abai, the father of Rabibi, sold her one tree. And we know that when you go and sell one tree, ain't like karka, you only get that tree itself. Not only that, you don't even get a right of way. Chayim told me, Machloikas, Rabbi Kiva, but anyway, she didn't have a right of way, and she would go to this dekel on a regular basis. Every time that she wanted to go and cut off something from the tree, have a copy of the law. Rabbi Barabai was upset. He says, you know, you're not giving me any privacy over here. Any time of day or night, you're coming to go and cut off your apples, your oranges, whatever the tree was.
Dates.
A date tree. Oh, yeah, you have to make a date if you want to cut off the date. You can't just come in. Zokti Mara Anisa Nile Kol Shnei Chayv. This lady says, I don't want to fight with Rabbi Barabai. Great man. You know what? I hereby am magnet to him this tree as long as he lives. After that, I will get it back. But as long as he lives, the property belongs to him. In other words, it's like an acharecha situation. I give it to you, Rabbi Barabai. It's your tree. You can use the dates. You can use it whatever you want. After 120, it comes back to me. As Yibo will point out a little bit later, another couple of lines, Rabbi Barabai being a son of Abaya. Abaya, as we know from other Gemaras, was an enikel of Eli HaKoyim. And unfortunately, there was a curse placed on the entire mishpach of Eli HaKoyim that they all will pass away young. It could be that in the back of her mind, she thought that Rabbi Barabai will also pass away young. So this is not a situation where he might live till 120. He's probably only going to live till 40 or 60 or some short abbreviated life. Therefore, after that, I'll get it back. Now, this Rabbi Barabai was a clever individual, Achochem. His ozel iu aknai nil lebenai cotton. He went now and he was makna this dekel tree to his son, the cotton. Why dafka to the son, the cotton? Because a cotton can go and be koine, because he's makna yideacher, somebody else can be makna to him, but he himself cannot be makna. That's what you always have the problem with the Araminim on Sukkis, that if you give Araminim to a katan, he can be koneh, but he can't be matnet. So if you go and tell him, matana m'nas l'hachsir, you're going to be stuck. He's going to go and get the matana, or if it won't work because he can't be machsir, then he won't be able to be yoitzer with it. And that's why you have the chinuch sets, etc., etc. But anyway, but the point of our Gemara is he figured, this is a clever way to hold on to this property forever. She's never going to come in, neither when I'm alive or when my child is alive. I'm going to give it to my Pnei Cotton. Rishbam says that since we passed Nashim and Amlia, we don't even have to talk about Pnei Cotton. He could have just given it to his Bnei HaGadol. And now, just like you can go and sell it and it's effective, he gives it away, it's effective. The only problem we had in the Gemara in the Amid Aleph was by Matonas Shchimara. But if a ton is bar, he can give it to anybody he wants. So it doesn't have to be cotton. So the Rambam says he thinks that this is a mistake. The word cotton, you could take it out even to benoi stop.
Maybe it's a kasha and a maisa. He had a benoi cotton and he gave it to his benoi cotton. I mean, we're questioning why he did it. Yeah. Maybe he had just one son, one child. He was a minor. And those were
it could be.
Texas story.
Okay. It could be. But also, presuming the Gemara tells us this, he had a kavana in telling us this. Because if he's not a... What difference does it make? He gave it to benoi. The purpose was...
It's a story. It's a kasha and
a maisa. Yeah, yeah. It's a good. Anyway, so l'choira, this was effective, and this itza is never going to get back the tree. We find this expression a number of times. The word memuloi has a number of interpretations. Rishbam says either because members of the Eli HaKoyen family settled in Mamla, and that's why it's memuloi, or the word memuloi comes from the word brismila. Brismila means that you cut. Unfortunately, these people from Eli HaKoyen's family, their lives are cut short. It's because you are cut short people. Because of that, you say words that are cut short. In other words, you're not saying what is sensible. Even Reb Shimon Gamliel that said that the Rishon could go and sell and leave nothing for the Shani, that's only if you have a no-sein, a Rishon, and a sheni. However, if the noisin himself is the sheni, the noisin says, I give it to you as long as you're alive, but afterwards it comes back to me, then Avada, the original noisin, wants to retain as many rights as possible, and he certainly didn't have in mind that you, Rishon, should go and sell it and part with the property that it wouldn't revert back to me. The only reason why by a Rishon Sheni situation, Rishbam said back in the Amud Aleph, is because he was Masalik Yodei. The noisin says, I'm not going to get it back anyways. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, but I'm not going to get it back. And here the Itza wants it back. She only gave it to him. She is a Sheni, or the Shniyah. So since she's a Sheni, she definitely wants it back. And therefore, after he would pass away, after Rabbi Abaye passed away, it would revert back to her after all. Notwithstanding, Rabbi Abaye gave it to his son. The Gadol, the Katan, makes no difference. Zezakimar. Omer, excuse me one second. The Pamiak is about to set in a minute. Cultive. Okay, cultive. Zotimor Baita. Omer Rava Abla Atzmalai. Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman. Shor is a nosl chum matana, avanasha tachzirei uli. Person gives a shor to somebody else, matana, on the condition you give it back to me. And what did that person do? He took it, higdisha, and he was makdishit. We had a similar case, if you remember, a few days ago, where someone said, I'm secret with my father, and I give you the whole suda so that you should be able to invite my father, and then he wants to be makdishit. He said, I didn't give it to be makdish. Oh, so you just wanted to that I should have the sin of having the two of you eat together when you are noida matana, one from the other. Noida no, one for the other. Noida no, one for the other. So, Agamaris, if it's a tear, this recipient, Shor Zen Oslucham Matana, the recipient of the matana, he told the recipient, I give you this matana, but give it back to me. In other words, a matana on an aslahatsa like an esrig, I give it to you temporarily, give it back. Hegdish was makdish, and he returned it to him. Jogti Gemara is a muktish, the hegdish works, umuksar, and he gave it back. Amle Rav of Nachman, what did he give him back? What he meant was a shor that I can use. Now that it's hegdish, I can't use it anymore. It's like the Isra Nov, we had one of the Yom Adal with the Tachrichim. So what benefit do I have? And the Bach takes out Omalei Yomai Chaser. Elam Ravashi. Ravashi says, let's listen to his initial words. Chazina. If he said, but you have to go and give back the shor, and the person went, and he was makdishit, and he returned to the Hadre. He kept to the letter of the law of the contract. He said, exactly. You got to give it back to me. What means to me? To mean that I should have a not. Then maybe the chazalik amalei, and if he was makdishit, it's not effective. We spoke about this at the outset when Barry was asking about kinyan. Person is and he says, I'm giving to you, to Reuven, I'm giving you this nechasim, this shor, this table, this pen. The amar haloi, and that recipient said, I don't want it. Kana, it belongs to him. Even if he stands on the top of the Mount Everest and he screams, I don't want this matane. Too late, he was koinit. He's not koinit. It's a big, big machlekes here. Yeah, koinit nisht. So what's going on? If he initially screamed, as they told him, we have good news for you. You just won this shor in the lottery. It's your shor. I don't want this shor. Get it out of here. Then he's not koinit according to everybody. However, if initially he says, he's quiet, he's stunned. Wow, this is the biggest thing that ever happened in his life. Holy cow, he just won a shot. What happens? He's shoysik initially, and then 5 minutes later he says, you know what, I don't need a shot. Well, that's just a mess. What am I going to put it? What am I going to do with it? I don't want the shot. It's already too late. He was already koinit. And if he wants to part with it, he either has to be mafkirit, or he has to sell it, give away matana, but it's his.
We go umbasur umdina now, because if he's shoysik umdina, we go according to most people would accept it.
Good, so we'll make sure we'll see more about this in tomorrow's Gemara. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.